I'm so excited to share with you that the doors are officially open for my first ever phone-free event that's happening in Los Angeles, California on February 28th at Mudwater Gather in Santa Monica, with the option for you to dive even deeper on March 1st. Now look, this event is about you. It's about you building connections and community and us all really bringing this analog revolution to life and reminding our hearts and souls what we truly crave most, what nourishes our being, which is co-regulating with other humans, having our mirror neurons dance together, sharing experiences together, but also learning together. So on top of all the community and connection possibilities for you, there's also an incredible lineup of speakers. I've got internationally renowned nervous system expert Sarah Baldwin, Nike master trainer Brandon Collingsworth talking about purpose and meaning, and Mandy Balak, who's the president of the Gathering Festival, which is one of the largest marketing and branding conferences in North America. So we're going to be diving deeper into what does the future look like to walk alongside technology and use technology as a tool. Now look, if you want to dive even deeper, there's limited space for a VIP dinner on the Saturday night. And if you want to go even deeper, if it's aligned for leaders, coaches, therapists, entrepreneurs, branding, marketing, whoever is called, there's a mastermind on the Sunday morning with even more limited seating. And that's going to be about what does the future look like to create in this world with technology. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, you want to find out more and save your spot, go to markgroves.com/future. I can't wait to see you there. Where we normally think of codependency as someone in a relationship with a person who's an addict and has a behavior that's undesirable, the majority of us actually compromise ourselves in order to keep people close. And although it could present and look like Kylie's the one who didn't have her poop in a group, you know, in being ready to choose the relationship, I was actively choosing to continue to be in a relationship with someone who wasn't fully choosing me. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. Today on this solo episode, it is an espresso shot of relational awareness. This is a conversation that Kylie and I share in our audiobook from the book Liberated Love, How to Release Codependent Patterns and Create the Love You Desire. At the end of every chapter in the book, we have a conversation that's unscripted, that's about whatever we cover in the chapter. In this chapter, we discuss more specifically the pattern of codependency, the definition we explore, and also how this shows up in our interpersonal relationships. When you see the dynamic of one person being maybe more the pursuer, or what we might call anxiously attached, and the other person being more the distancer, the person who's ambivalent or unsure or running from the commitment as the other one runs towards commitment, this pattern we dive more deeply into. In the conversation about relationship, we tend to villainize the ambivalent one or the distancer. And so we give a little more context to that pattern and how both people can take responsibility in their relationships to change their life. So if you love this conversation, please share the episode and also hit that subscribe button, because every week, twice a week, I dive deeper into the human experience, human connection, and how to master human relating and ultimately ourselves. If you want to hear more about the specific subject we're covering, please pick up the book if you're into reading, and if you really like the end of chapter conversations and listening to your books, pick up the audiobook, Liberated Love. Much love. All right, let's dive deep into this definition. Let's dive deep into this definition of codependency, because y'all are deep in the book, so let's go for it.
Codependency, as we define it in the book, is a relational dynamic where we source safety from someone or something outside of ourselves at the expense of our own needs, sense of self, and overall well-being. I think the big thing I want to talk about is the key words of at the expense of. Mm-hmm. Because so much of our work when we're talking and working with our clients is, well, I have needs that I need other people to meet. And of course, we're human beings. Like, we absolutely will have needs with other humans. But it's when we're getting these needs met at the expense of ourselves that it becomes codependent.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there is this idea that the opposite of codependency is overt individualism, mm-hmm. right? That it's like I go from being needy,
right,
or a doormat, to like prioritizing everyone to just me. I have just a self.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to be in a relationship and be a self. And that's what this book is teaching us how to do, teaching you how to do, is that How do I hold on to who I am mm-hmm. and be in a relationship? How do I manage my needs and also create space for someone else's needs?
Yeah.
That's such a dance.
It's such a dance. I know that for me, how this really showed up in relationship 1.0 is I was sourcing safety and security from you. And, you know, the way I identify that is like my financial safety and security was coming through you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was at the expense of my voice, of my overall sense of self, because if I was to bring my needs to the forefront or to share something that I was unhappy with, I feared that that might rock our relational boat. And with that, my source of safety and security. And so for me, codependency, like the way through healing, moving out of codependency, was building this internal foundation of financial security, of trusting myself with money so that I could actually reassert myself in our relational dynamic and have a voice and have needs. But if I'm sourcing that safety from you at the expense of myself, it becomes really tricky to break free from that, you know?
Well, and so important to note too, that your fear of speaking up and that destabilizing the relationship and thus money, support, etc., was unconscious and not true, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you had brought forward what was really going on for you, it was, at least in my experience, received with love and grace and curiosity.
Yeah.
When I didn't insert some defensiveness and a couple emotional armors just to keep things creative and exciting. But yeah, that when you're listening to this, that you recognize that it doesn't mean that speaking up or whatever you as the listener might be relating to, it doesn't mean that in doing that, it's actually going to create the outcome you fear. It's that the outcome you fear lives probably in your lineage, lives in, you know, your relationship history, your childhood, what you observe, what you learned about relationships growing up.
Right. And it was also for me challenging an identity, a way of being in which I knew how to relate to the world, which was, as we discussed in chapter 1, one of the masks is like the damsel in distress.
Yeah.
Like I need somebody to save me because I don't know how to take care of myself. I don't have the competence to stand on my own 2 feet. And so I think what's so tricky about this relational dynamic that we find ourselves in is these identities have been rooted and we know how to relate to reality from these identities.
Yeah. So much. So
and you.
Well, let me get into mine. Let me get into mine. Okay. That. Yeah. Through your need to be supported, I got to support you, mm-hmm. which made me feel valuable and you couldn't leave. Mm-hmm. Unconsciously, of course, it's like, if she needs me, she's not going to go anywhere because my greatest fear is her leaving me. Mm-hmm. So you see these, where we normally think of codependency as someone in a relationship with a person who's an addict and has a behavior that's undesirable. That's not, the majority of us actually compromise ourselves in order to keep people close. And although it could present and look like Kylie's the one who didn't have her poop in a group, you know, in being ready to choose the relationship, I was actively choosing to continue to be in a relationship with someone who wasn't fully choosing me. So there's a level of responsibility that is to my own self-abandonment and self-erasure and the eradication of my own true needs
yeah.
that is masquerading under this mask.
Savior role.
Yeah.
It's a hard one to break down.
Especially because most of the relational information out there speaks to moving on from an avoidant person or moving on from a person who can't choose a relationship. And that is part of the healing. Mm-hmm. And also the recognition that we're choosing them, that there's actually a part of us that's recreating a dynamic that needs to be healed. So stay tuned because this book's walking you right through all of that. Don't leave yet, there's more.